Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am so excited again because tonight we will still be continuing our study from the book of Romans. Now, this study will provide how Paul instructs the Romans without much leniency. The Romans received a stern message from Paul, very academic, I might say. For Paul delineates the ways of godliness through Jesus Christ. Now, as I always do, want to remind you that all of the lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And I highly suggest, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps are regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Again, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries, if you may have any. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you. In fact, one of our listeners prompted me to revisit this question for more clarity. The question was asked, when the Bible refers to predestination, how do we know the difference between predestination and free will? In other words, how do we know when something happens in our lives, it is a result of something we have done or a choice we have made for free will? Is it predestined? An answer to prayer or consequences from God. Now, I have divided this into three segments for more clarity. When the Bible references, and I state that this was a superlative question. Listen, everybody. When the Bible refers to predestination, how do we know the difference between the predestination and free will? The definition or the difference between predestination and free will is this. Predestination is pre-willed, meaning we have no choice or very limited choice. Free will means we have choice. Now, the second part, in other words, how do we know when something happens in our lives? Is it a result of something we have done or a choice that we have made from free will? When something happens in our lives, It is because God has directed it to happen. And we take part in the activity by thinking we are choosing it. That is the mystery that we're under. The third part, is it predestined, an answer to prayer, or a consequence from God? Predestination is God directed, which includes the prayer, if he chooses us to do that. We're going to get in tonight about the mysteries of God, and this will be explained more thoroughly. Now, as our theme for the show suggests, the question for the hour is this. Are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's Proverbs 8, verse 17. So the promise is that if you love God, then he will love you and seek you. Number two, God said through King David, though thou through thy commandments have thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 98. So again, the promise is that you will have more wisdom than your enemies if you keep God's commandments. God said through Ezekiel the prophet, I will feed them in a good pasture. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. That's Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. The promise is that you will be fed and you will lie down pleasantly if you are a part of God's flock. The question for this hour again is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now let's get to the study. We are going to go to Romans chapter 9 through and verse 15 through 21 and be the reading text. Now, this is the 15th instruction out of 30 for the series. So this is the text, Romans chapter 9, and it's verse 15 through 21. And this is the question that we will extract from the reading. Focus on this question. God does who or what he decides. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? God does who or what he decides. Now, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 15 through 21 about it. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So it's God's making the determination regardless of what we do. He shows mercy, he shows graciousness. Verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Remember Pharaoh? He had to take on 10 plagues before he let the people go. Verse 18, therefore had he mercy on whom he had mercy and whom he will be hardened. That's what Paul says. He's in control. Verse 19 says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? God, this is in the mystery we will be talking more about. God determines all. Verse 20. But a man who art thou that repliest against God, shall the thing say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me? And the last verse before we go to the break, has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What Paul is telling us is that God decides. And once we come back from the break, we will go into the complement, which you can turn now to Exodus chapter 33, verse 17 through 19, that will identify the comparison and will show the connection, connecting the dots after the break.
What do you do when your battle chooses you? What do you do when something shows up on your doorstep that you did not directly cause, choose, or definitely anticipate?
Life is not always easy. In fact, some of you today, you're here and you're going through the toughest season of your life. There will be seasons where we will suffer. There will be seasons of real pain. And the question is, how will you respond in those moments?
Life is hard sometimes. Easy, it's not an option. But it's worth fighting. It's worth believing. It's worth giving yourself a chance. It's worth mustering yourself up, standing up inside yourself. It's worth fighting relentlessly, never giving up. It's worth it. You can do it. You can do it.
There's problems that we go through that cause stress, worry, anxiety, and fear. But you might be in the battle of your life. I want to encourage you. It's not about what's happening around you. It's always about what's happening inside of you.
Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you have to be afraid. Just because you feel discouraged doesn't mean you have to be discouraged. Just because you have fear doesn't mean fear has to have you.
The sentence out of your mouth is a story that you are putting out. I'm not going to make it. I quit. Let's get a divorce. Business is never coming back. We've lost too many people. I've made too many mistakes. I'm a failure. Nobody can help me. I've done too many bad things. I don't know what's coming out of your mouth, but it's a death sentence.
And as you continue to confess it, and as you continue to declare it, well, don't be surprised when it becomes true in your life. We have to make sure that whenever I feel, when I think a death sentence, I must speak a life sentence. Oh, I'm feeling the sentence of death. I'm feeling the thoughts of anxiety. I'm feeling the thoughts that I'm done. I feel like I've been used, and it hurts, and it's difficult. But when that happens, I start speaking out a life sentence. No, I'm just going to keep showing up. No, I'm going to get back up. The righteous man, he falls seven times, but he gets back up.
Never give up. Never give in. Because skill can't get you back. Certain things, quickness, agility can't get you. You got to have mental toughness. Pain ain't permanent. Your pain ain't permanent. You can get through this. You're bigger than your pain. You're better than that.
Come on, you need to remember, this is not the first time you cried. This is not the first time you were short of breath. This is not the first time you didn't see a way clear. This is not the first time you were hurt. This is not the first time your heart was broken. This is not the first time you didn't have enough money. This is not the first diagnosis that came up from behind.
Yeah, I'm gonna live to tell the story. This too shall pass. I will remain. I'm not going to quit. Every one of my burdens, there's a blessing on the inside of it. If you don't quit, you will win, baby.
You're going to work through this. You're going to get up. You're going to get dressed. You're going to get out. And you're going to do what you've been called to do. You're going to be what you called to be. And you're going to prove that everybody that tried to break you, everybody that tried to stop you, everybody that tried to kill your dream, you're going to prove all of them wrong.
Just keep coming back. If you got nothing left to give, just show back up. Half of life, man, is just showing up.
And I'm telling you right now, don't give up. I'm telling you right now, don't give in. Get through it. And if you can get through it, if you can work through your pain, I'm guaranteeing you, on the other side is a reward. Pain is not permanent. Pain is temporary.
Now back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
All right. We are continuing. Remember the instruction, God does who or what he decides. Now, the connection with the complement to what we read in Romans is Exodus chapter 23, verse 17 through 19. And this is what is said through Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's what Moses asked God. And this is what God said. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That is telling us that God makes the determination. And to substantiate that, let us go quickly to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And this might be what I call the icing on the cake. This solidifies in the Old Testament that what God does, who he makes the decision. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. This is what it says. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that solidifies God determining and doing what he does when he does. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually, my precious brothers and sisters, in our lives, that God is an autocrat. That means he is only. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He does what he does, however he does it. It is unquestionable. We may question it, but it is beside the point. It is certified in writing, you might say. His word will not come back void. Okay, let us go now to instruction number 16. And we're going to go back to our New Testament reading, Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 17. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 17. And this is the instruction that we should be focusing on. God will save those who call upon him. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will save those who call upon him. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 17 about it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, these are the prerequisites. Remember, there is a determination involved in this, and there are things that have to occur before the action can eventuate. And verse 14 says this, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And this is the key. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, my brothers and sisters, the prerequisites are laid down for those who call upon him. The other things must occur before the action does come to fruition. And this is the connection that we're going to get from the Old Testament. We're going to go back to our complement, and it's going to be the book of Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah 55 again, and we're going to read verse 6. Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verse 6. And this is going to tell us how, through the prophet Isaiah, God issued the same instructions that he issued through Paul. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." So this side of eternity, that's what we must be doing. Those are the prerequisites for God to answer us. Now, this is what the instruction should mean spiritually in our lives. When we are chosen, you will call upon the name of the Lord. That is key, because you may be called at 1 year old or chosen at 1 year old. You may be called or chosen at 10 years old, at 21 years old, at 80 years old. That's why we can't judge, because who am I to say when you are called? But I do know that when you are called or when you are chosen, you will call upon the name of the Lord. All right, let's go to instruction number 17, to Romans chapter 11, verse 16 through 21. That's where I want to focus before we go into the break. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, verse 16 through 21, and that's the text we're going to be looking at. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 through 21, and the instruction will be, because of Israel, all mankind can be saved. Now, that is the focus of this text. It is because of the children of God. First, Israel. That's the reason all mankind can be saved. And when the break comes in, we will go into the details. But if you would, since it hasn't started yet, also mark the compliment, if you will. We're going to be going to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 and 6, and then we're going to complete it with Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. And in all, after the break, we'll complete it.
Have you ever been chased by something? I've discovered that everybody is running from something. Everybody is running from something or someone, even if that someone is themselves. We're all being chased by something. It might be a fear. It might be an anxiety. It might be an imagination. It might be guilt. But you are being chased. It's amazing how looking back can take all of your faith out of the frame. As long as you're looking forward on the next step that God has called you to take, all you'll ever see is the waters parting with every step that you take. But when you look back, all you see is the wheels of the chariots. Before you, waters are parting. Behind you, the wheels of the chariot are turning, and your faith is dependent on which direction you look.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
All right, here we go. Because of Israel is the instruction, all mankind can be saved. Now, this is what Paul says about it in Romans chapter 11, verse 16 through 22. Paul says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." Nation of Israel, number one, we are coming in as a draft from the nation of Israel. Listen to verse 19. "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off." Paul explains it. "And thou standest by faith. But be not high-minded, my brothers and sisters, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee not. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, severity," meaning Israel, "but towards them goodness if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. So the reason that Israel was put into its disobedience was because God wanted all mankind to be saved. And as we go through the other books of the Bible, we'll see piece by piece how we put it together, why that occurred. Now what we want to do is go to our complement and see how it was taught to Israel that we or more would be coming in and they would not be the only ones. We're going to go to Isaiah, back to Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to go to the prophet, chapter 42. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 6. And this is what God said through the prophet, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 and 6. And this is what he said. Behold my servant, meaning the Messiah, and to us Jesus Christ, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Okay, there is its mention in the book of Isaiah. Verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people for the light of the Gentiles. So the Messiah is the one that comes into play to make it secure that all of us others will be brought in. Now let's quickly go to Isaiah chapter 49 to get more clarity on what this means. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. That is where the prophet gives us more definitive information on this Israel are going to wait on all of the rest to be saved. This is what Isaiah says in 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Judah and to restore the preserved of Israel, meaning Israel. Now here we come in. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So that tells us in the beginning how this should and does come into play. Now what we want to do is we want to look at this instruction and see the meaning of it spiritually for us in our lives. This is what it means. Israel are the first chosen of God, and we are the second or the adoption. That's key. Okay. If you have any questions, and I know that there should be a lot out there, you're in the chat room, go and ask the question. If you're not, get me the question some other way, and I will gladly respond to it. Now we're going to go to the next instruction, 18, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 33. That's what we're going to be looking at. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 33. And this is the question that we're going to glean from the text. The mystery. Remember we talked about mystery earlier? That is confounding the entire Bible. It is mysterious only to those who are outside the grace of God. Anyway, the instruction says the mystery of the Gentiles. And this is what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 33. This is what Paul said about the mystery. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, lest ye should be raised in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come. That means that those who are in the chosen family have to wait on us. Verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, I know there's going to be some questions out there about this. Paul said, so all of Israel shall be saved. Now we're going to do verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, and when I shall take away their sins. As according the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Remember Abraham, he was given the promise from God. And we talked about it earlier. God's what God's word will not come back void. 29, the verse says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Listen, you're going to get a question for this. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? We know we have to repent because that's part of godliness. But what did Paul say? For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God does what he does to whom he does. He will have mercy. He will have grace. He's the one that decides. Now, 30 says, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believe that though their mercy, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. And that is the 32nd verse says, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now listen here, my brothers and sisters, this is key. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how his ways are past finding out. That is so critical to the mystery. And only those that seek shall find, knock shall be open to, and ask correctly and shall receive. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the complement and we're going to verify this. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 48, we're going to go to Leviticus. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 1 and verse 6. That is where we're going. I'm thinking that I read that already. So what I must have done was taken the instruction out of order, and I apologize for that. I can't go back. Nope, I see what I did. The Isaiah chapter was 42, verse 1 and 6. This is Isaiah chapter 48, verse 1 and 6. So that certifies it or verifies it. We're going to do Isaiah chapter 48, verse 1 and 6. And this is what Isaiah has been told through God about the mystery of the Gentiles. It says, have ye this? Hear this, O house of Jacob, which are called by my name Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by my name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. And verse 6 says, thou hast heard, see all this. I think what I have done was made a mistake and gotten this mixed up with something else. My brothers and sisters, I apologize. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 55, okay, 55, verse 8 and 9. This was what I was going to use for more clarity, but it seems that this is the one I'm going to have to use to verify the connection. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. This is what it says. This is concerning the mystery of the Gentiles. This is what, and if we don't get through it from the break, this is what it says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your way, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That gives validity to what Paul was saying. And that gives us also the understanding that the mystery is only going to give to those whom God gives it to. So we're going to go into our intended instruction after the break.
Time is short. My king is coming soon. Because eternity matters, I will give him my all today. No regrets, no excuses, holding nothing back. With his help and by his power, I will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. My faith moves mountains. My prayers calm storms. My words give life. My hands bring healing. My feet deliver the good news that Christ is risen and is coming again. God's word is a lamp directing my steps. His spirit is my power. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. Because Christ is coming, I will not back down, sell out, or be pushed around. My life is too valuable, my calling too great, my God too good to waste my life on things that don't last. I am empowered by God's Spirit, trained by His Word, tried by fire. My name is written in His book. My life belongs to Him. Because my life is not my own and earth is not my home, I will live for the glory of God and not for the applause of men. I am strong in the Lord and in His mighty power to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. Because Christ lives in me, trials will not stop me. People cannot break me. Money cannot buy me. Haters cannot silence me. Demons cannot defeat me. King is coming soon. Because eternity matters, I will give Him my all today. No excuses, no regrets, holding nothing back. With His help and by His power, I will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. Because Maranatha, our King is coming soon.
Welcome back. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, everybody. I took a closer look at Isaiah chapter 48, verse 1 and verse 6, and I see where the mystery of the Gentiles is included in the text. And so I'm going to quickly just read verse 6, because that's where the meat of the matter is. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 48, it says, "Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee things from new things from this time, even hidden things, mysterious things, and thou didst not know them." So again, this is where the connection is, identifying the mystery of what God has compiled in the 66 books of Bible for us to glean and study. And we will know it if we study it, but if we don't study it, if we don't seek it, we won't know but what we get from it, which would be lacking if we don't do it thoroughly. Now, what we want to do is go to the instruction. We want to see what this instruction means to us spiritually in our lives. This is what it means. The hidden or mysterious things of God are only shown to them that seek Him, that knock after Him, and that ask for them correctly. Okay, so that is the instruction we should glean from this particular number 18 group of that particular instruction. Now we're going to go to instruction number 19, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which should be familiar to a lot of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and this is the question that we're going to draw from this text. Be godly inside and outside your bodies. Be godly inside and outside your bodies. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, to be godly inside and out, this is what Paul is telling us we must do. Now, what we're going to do is connect the dots with the Old Testament. We're going to go to Leviticus chapter 11, and we're going to see what the Old Testament says about this godliness on the inside and out of our bodies. Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 44 and 45, this is what it says. God speaking, and He is speaking through Moses, of course, but this is what He told Moses to say. "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves," that's the body, "with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, and to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." That is what God is telling us, or that's what Israel was told to do back in that time frame, the way that God presented it. And of course, Paul gives us a different version, but it is connected, meaning the same thing. Now, what we want to do is look at this instruction and see the meaning of it spiritually in our lives. And the reason I always tout the spirituality is because the spirit comes before the flesh. So this is what it should mean, that we should set ourselves apart from those who are non-believers, except for sharing the good news of the gospel. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Be ye separate. Paul talked about what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion has light with darkness. That's all significant to us. All right, let us go now to instruction number 20. And this is what we're going to be looking at from the major text, Romans chapter 12. Back to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. And this is the instruction we're going to glean from Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. This is what we should be looking at, my brothers and sisters. Use grace and faith to determine what you do. Use grace and faith to determine what you do. And this is what Paul says about that. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now remember, when you're 1 year old, you don't have the same faith that you have when you're 21 years old. And when you're 21 years old, you don't have the same faith that you have when you're 80 years old. Very significant. Okay, let's read on. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Critical again, my brothers and sisters, because you are a preacher and I am a teacher. You can't look at me more highly than I ought to look at you. That's significant. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one to another. Having then gifts differing to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to our portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it simplistically. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So Paul is telling us there are varying degrees, and we should recognize that. That's why we can't be judges one of another. Now what we want to do is go to our complement. We want to go to the Old Testament to see how it was put to the Israelites. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. And this is what the Bible says in comparison and relationship to use grace and faith to determine what you do. This is what verse 5 says. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. This was God speaking to Abraham. Now listen what occurred. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So God accounted Abraham's faith for righteousness. And the righteousness was his grace that he gave them. And to shore it up, meaning to explain it more explicitly, turn quickly to Genesis chapter 22, verse 11 and through 13. And this is what happened. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11 through 13. And this completes the understanding that the Old Testament connects to use grace and faith to determine what you do. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, and seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, him a ram caught in the thick by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his own son. That culminated Abraham using his faith, his belief that God would do, would be gracious, and God was. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That our grace through Jesus Christ should give us the faith in the Holy Ghost to guide us in all truth. Our grace through Jesus Christ should give us the faith in the Holy Ghost to guide us to all truth. And before we go to a break, I think that maybe I'll give a little more explanation of that. Jesus said he would not leave us comfortless, that he would ask the Father to send us another comforter, and that's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will guide us in all truth, teach us all things of God. So that is the result of the grace of Jesus, who he gave and gives to us who have the faith to determine what we should be doing for him. And we will go to the break.
The tragedy is this. We get discouraged. We see our economy going down. All right? We get discouraged. We look at this paper coming in asking for claims or some debt we have to pay. We get discouraged. We are snared by the visible. The visible is what the devil uses. The visible, look at the lump, how it's growing. Look at your report. Look at what the report says. And it's all visible. We lose sight of the invisible God. Elijah forgot the God who led him to Cherith. He forgot the ravens that fed him by day and by evening. He forgot the woman that God commanded to feed him. And he forgot the barrel of meal that never wasted and the jar of oil that never ceased. He forgot the God of the resurrection that raised the boy from the dead, even through him. He forgot the God who answered by fire and the rain that followed. Why? Because like this, any of us can fall away from faith. Even we walked in the greatest faith yesterday, we can go back to sight today. Peter asked the Lord Jesus when he saw him above the storm, above the waves, on the Lake of Galilee, walking. Lord, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus says, come, Peter, come. Based on the word of the Lord, looking at Jesus, he stepped on the water and the wind started howling. When Peter saw the wind was boisterous. What has the wind being boisterous got anything to do with walking on water? You mean if there's no boisterous wind, you can walk? You mean on a perfect day, on a swimming pool, no ripple, you can walk? The wind has nothing to do with it. But when he saw the wind, he lost sight of the living Lord. And he began to sing. Walking by sight will cause the greatest of the disciples to sing and the greatest of the prophets to fail. And we're not throwing stones here at either Peter or Elijah. We are just saying where we missed it. We take our eyes off the invisible into the visible. He got discouraged. His prayer in times past was to pray, to be directed by the Lord. The Lord directs him. He goes to the brook Cherith. The Lord says, okay, enough now. Go to Zarephath. He goes. He built the altar, all at the word of the Lord, the leading of God. But now, he's running. At whose direction? At a woman threatening him. The threatening of a woman. He does not see the living Lord anymore. He sees an enraged, angry woman. Some of you. I got to be careful where I point. This few weeks, I've been pointing in the right direction. Some of you, you are so afraid because some human face looms larger than the living Lord. You make decisions based on fear of that person instead of trust in the Lord. It might be your boss. It might be your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law told me the other day, hey, mother-in-laws in our church are safe, you know, she told me. She thought I didn't know. Nah. I think she's trying to say, quit it. Oh, you're afraid like Ahab, afraid of his wife. But here, he's not even married to her. And he's afraid of Jezebel. But who is Jezebel? A dying woman. Her days are numbered. Her prophets are finished. She's on the wrong side. And he's running for his life. So that can happen to any of us. The moment we take our eyes off the living Lord.
Welcome back to our program. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, we're on instruction number 21, and we're going to go back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21, and this is what we're going to extract from what Paul writes in the text. Practice, this is the instruction, my brothers and sisters, practice these attributes to perfect your faith. You want your faith to increase. You want to hone the best that you can get from it. These are some of the attributes. There are many, many more, but these are some of the attributes, the ones that Paul identified in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. This is what he says. Let love be without dissimulation. That's one. Abhor that which is evil. Two, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honoring, preferring one to another. That's three. Not slothful in business. Four, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Five, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. That's six and seven. Continuing instant in prayer, and I won't count the rest of them, but I'll just say them. Verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'll repeat that. If it is possible, as much as lieth in all men, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the attributes that Paul is telling us about to perfect our faith. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to connect the dots and see how it was identified for those in the Old Testament to perfect their belief and their activities. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. And this is significant because this is still telling us or adding to the attributes that I just gave you. This is what God told Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. This is what he said. And God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. One, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Two, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, listen to this, brothers and sisters, I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, meaning the wrongs of the fathers, upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. God is telling us we just inherited from Adam the knowledge of good and evil that equals death because of what he did. 6, and showing mercy unto those of them that love me and keep my commandments. I read verse 6, which is the fourth commandment. Verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Very significant, my brothers. Very significant, my sisters. If you have a question on that, ask me and I'll get it to you, but I won't explain it. I'll keep going. On 5, it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. In 6 days, God, thou shalt labor and do thy own work. But in the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. If thou shalt not do any of thy own work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, manservant, or maidservant, nor thy cattle, or stranger, anyone within thy ranks. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all that were in them is, and rested on the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God has given thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor man's servant, maidservant, ox, or ass, or anything that belongs to thy neighbor. What I just did was give you those attributes that you could add to the ones that Paul identified, because those commandments, saving the commandment saying the Sabbath, which we can talk about later in another lesson, that are those that we should, if we want to perfect our faith, we need to adhere to those. Now what I'm going to do is go and I'm going to give you the understanding of the meaning of these spiritually in our lives. This is what they should mean in our lives. Just to these things and faith in God, just do these things and faith in God will improve drastically in your lives. Those are what is necessary and should be responded to, that I think. If you have a question to the host, and I will respond to it. Now, what I'd like to give you is information on Paul and his studiousness. Paul was the creme de la creme of the tribe of Benjamin. He was considered the Pharisee of Pharisees, so he was ultra intelligent, all right? And so when he addressed the Romans, knowing that they were an intelligentsia, so to speak, he gave them critical instructions. And you could see from the ones that we went over tonight that if you don't give much thought or research to it, it'll go over your head. So we're going to review quite quickly what we went through tonight. One of the instructions, the first one was 15, God does who and what he decides to do. That is superlative, because that brings into view that predestination is key with God. In instruction 16, God will save those who call upon him. In that instruction, we understand that there are prerequisites to each thing or each action that will follow the prerequisites, meaning that you have to do something to get something. You know what they say sometimes, I'll put a little levity in this. You got to bring some to get some? Okay. So the instruction number 17 says, because of Israel, all mankind can be saved. So that is critical that we know that if it weren't for God's people, we would be lost. The next one, and that concludes our show.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and have a good night.